Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 Show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
Whoa! Hey everyone, what's going on? It's Ezra here at Moto 247, and this is episode 55 of the Moto 247 Show. Got Dean on the phone right now, and Joey will probably hop on here in a second, but round two of the Supercross season got started, and I think we got a better round. What do you think? I thought it was better than A1.
Yeah, even though it was muddy and stuff like that, I thought it made for some good racing, kind of exciting, and things were kind of shaken up a little bit, which is kind of good, just, you know, keeps the season interesting and points close moving forward.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Like, obviously, I guess some people like mud races, but I really don't prefer them, but it was pretty good where I felt like it was entertaining. I saw a lot of people online that didn't think so, but I think the fact that Jet got a decent start, like he got freaking splattered with mud though and everything, got blinded, I think, like a lot of people in the first corner though, but he was up there and then just kept on consistently, you know, dropping back, and there would be another issue, you know, it was mistake after mistake, and like Eli said on the podium too, you know, once you fall down, get your hands in the mud, and especially if you ruin your vision too, you're kind of screwed in a mud race like that. And I just didn't know what to think. I had him in first in Rocky Mountain Fantasy. I did that early on in the week before I knew it was going to be a mudder. And I thought about changing it, but I know it was kind of like the Eli thing a couple years ago. Whenever I would change, you know, Eli to someone else, he would always win. So I had a feeling that I just couldn't go away from Jet. And I was, like I posted on the story, I hoped I was wrong, but and I was. The picks weren't that great. I don't know what my score was, but here's Joey calling in right now. We'll get him on the line here. And we're back here. We got Joey on the line. I think I was just picking off where I left off. I was talking about Tomac there, and I think I was talking about Jets, my pick on Jet, and I hoped I was wrong, in which I was, but that's what I want to check my fantasy too when you guys get going. But yeah, it was a pretty good round. Joey, what do you think about it? And for a mudder, that I thought that was pretty insane.
Yeah, it was probably one of the gnarliest mud races I've seen, at least in a really long time. The conditions looked really, really tricky. Made those guys look like sea riders out there, beat out the pegs, kind of paddling around. But for sure, it was nice. It kind of mixed up some of the results and just entertaining. Not really what I had predicted when I saw it was going to be muddy. I was thinking a little bit different, but yeah, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely surprising. I didn't know what to really expect from Chase. I thought Barcia was going to do good. He was under the weather, though, so I guess that's to be expected, right? But Kenny did really good. I don't think they really brought it up too much on the broadcast, at least that fact that he came from pretty much dead last, and he was in third, and I knew that, and, like, I was going through and watching this morning again, and like, I didn't realize how fast he moved into third. Like, I saw he was in the third with, like, 6 minutes to go, and he could have been up there before that, but I just, at that point in the highlight reel, saw that, and I was just kind of blown away, and he rode really good. Chase looked good. Eli was really solid there, and like I just said before you got on the phone there, Joe, that Jet just kept on dropping back, and obviously, getting covered in mud, and like I was saying, how Tomac said on the podium, you know, once you fall in the mud, you're kind of screwed. But yeah, I definitely did not see that coming in. With it being a mud race, I can see Jet losing, but I didn't see him dropping back like that at all. But I guess we got a little nice reset in the points, even though we're not too far in, and it should be pretty good now. At least I hope so. I think it was really nice, though, for Sexton to get that win under his belt, you know, really early in the season, and so he can get going and hopefully challenge Jet some more up there. But I guess diving into the 250 class, that was a pretty good race. Really sucks for Shimoda having a really bad start. And what do you guys think about the old guys out there, Jordan Smith and RJ end up dropping down, though, but in the points right now in the 250 West is I guess pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy that, like you said, Shimoda and Ryder DeFrancesco, both the guys that won their heat races, both of them DNF'd. I thought it was crazy, you know, like I don't know what happened to Shimoda's bike, man. That thing only made it like two corners in before it quit. I'd be really curious to know what could have happened that quickly to cause the bike to fail. You
Yeah,
know?
that was the wasn't it like the first lap pretty much. So it was.
Yeah, it was right because I mean he fell going down that first rhythm, and then it was like two corners after that that it was like it stalled, and that was like all she wrote. Like, I don't know. I don't know if like maybe something happened in that first crash. Did he damage something, I guess? I don't know.
I was just kind of
Like,
blown away
there's
by
a.
that. Like, I see your bike
Could
not
have been a.
making it, but like that, close, like that. I guess that long into the main, not even a minute in. Like, I was just, I don't know, kind of blown away. And I think it's, going into round three, he was probably the title favorite, I think, for a lot of people. And now he's, I don't even know, I can pull that up, but he has to be pretty far back in the points right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for as few races they have, he is probably already out of the title hunt.
He's far down. Okay, I must be blind. I don't see him. Joe Shimoda, he's
Yeah,
13th in
'cause
the points right now with 18, and the leader, Jordan Smith, as a replay right now, has 47. So pretty far gap. But I guess I want to kick this over to Joey right now. I don't think he had a mutter in Supercross, as far as I can remember. But I know you had. Was it Unadilla was a mutter, and obviously. Probably a lot in amateurs, but what were your thoughts like going into that? I know they're talking about, I'm pretty sure it's Ricky and the Rock, just talking about, there might have been someone else, I don't know, talking about like how your attitude is going into it. If you're stressed out or just pissed off or whatever, it's really gonna affect you. Or it might have been AP that said that, but if you keep it fun, normally you'll do better. But like, what were your thoughts normally going into a race like that where it was just absolutely. Trash, the track was just gone.
Yeah, it's I was never a huge fan of mud, just more or less from getting dirty. But I and like trashing your stuff, but I never mind riding it. But definitely going into it, you have to, like the, I think Plesher is the one who said it. You have to embrace it. Be excited for it. Because the guys who wake up and like, oh shoot, it's raining, versus the guys who wake up and say, oh yes, it's raining. Like you can see no normally last night was a little bit different. I mean, look at East Rutherford last year. Barcia clearly, he loves the mud, and then he won, and Anstey likes the mud too, and he's ridden a lot in the GPs, and he won too. So it's usually mud races are easier to predict than they were last night. Like last night was past the point. It was more or less just survival. The start was predicted right off the gate, where like it's hard to really race, where like East Rutherford they were doing more jumps longer. It was just I think a lot more water. It wasn't as thick. And the start last night was sketchy. It was super thick. Guys were about, well, there was a lot of crashes going down the straightaway there, but
Yeah, do you see Barcia's little, almost crash there, losing his left hand there, going for like a little ride? Looked like when we're out at Coyote Joe's on the bowl.
Well, it's quite gnarly because you're coming on the start stretch and you get blasted and you can't see anything. You go to pull a tear off, and then you go in like it's just thick mud. Then because you can't see the mud, right, and your hand's off the handlebar, so that yeah, you're just death gripping the bars, slapping each side of trying to get out of it. But there's a lot of carnage. Thankfully, no one, I don't believe anyone got hurt
Yeah,
on the
what were
start,
your
but it
thoughts
was
too
sketchy.
on how they did a lot of track changes after qualifying, then going into I think what was it after the heat races, going and making changes to the whoops there.
I was really surprised. Like, have they really done that before? Like, I mean, they changed a lot.
I don't remember
Man.
that much being ever changed, especially like I like they might have done something after qualifying, but like I could be wrong on that. But I don't ever remember them really going in after the heat races and making big changes like they did to the whoop section going on.
Like, well, I mean, I'm not even considering just the whoops, like the rhythms, the triples, like they changed.
Yeah, they made like, those doubles. And
they redid the whole track basically before the night show.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it was a good move. Like, I mean, the track was miserable enough. There's a bear just rolling around it. So I couldn't imagine what double the extra amount of jumps through the rhythms and stuff having to roll through there. But, yeah, it's interesting to see.
Yeah, me and Dean are just talking about how gnarly it was a little bit ago, but yeah, I don't ever remember that. Like, I feel like East Rutherford was pretty gnarly last year, but still, I think this one looked a lot worse, and it was just really crazy. I was just waiting for someone's bike up front to like the quit and not make it all the way through. I was just kind of had my fingers crossed for the longest time, but I guess staying in the 250 class here, I really don't want to jump all over the place. Kind of was going to talk about something in the 450s, but let's just finish out the 250s first. Your former team, Club and Max, man, those guys were killing it. I think they got redemption for Phil's bike, you know, having some issues there before the gate drop of the main event last week, and he was up there, and I was like standing up. I got off my couch. I was like standing up. I wasn't yelling, but I was almost yelling at the TV for Phil. Like, I was like I really like Mark Spanks, big fan of him, and I know he's a really good dude, but I was really wanting Phil to get that podium. I know Mark Spanks is really capable of being up there on the box, and you know, has a long future probably of opportunities of getting up on there, but man, I was really rooting for Phil there, but that was a pretty good race by those guys.
Yeah, I was stoked to see them rebound like that. I like Garrett's my friend, like I really like him, but I was thinking the same kind of deal. Like Garrett, he should be on the podium almost every weekend and is capable of it every weekend, but like dry or muddy, you know. But Phil, on the other hand, I hate to say it, he's not gonna make the podium when it's dry. Like, I don't see that happening. So like, I definitely was pulling for him because I feel like that was his only chance and could have been his last chance. Because like I said, he's retiring soon. I was rooting for Phil.
Yeah, he was doing pretty good.
Sure, hold on that one.
They had the camera on him for a long time. And a thing I was kind of pissed off with is, I know there's whenever you're judging, you know, if it's a rider or production or whatever, like there's things that, you know, it's, everyone's human or whatever. But when I was watching that battle, there was the last lap, right? And that wasn't the battle for first, but it was the battle for the last podium spot. And I think a lot of people were really watching that and rooting on Phil or whatever. But the thing I was really pissed off with is they have this battle box now that they use, and they promote saying, oh, the Thor battle box or whatever. I know that's like outdoors though, but they still show it in Supercross, and they, you know, they promote that, the freaking battle box. But they didn't even have that. They just went to the leader, and then they kept it on Jordan for like 30 seconds, and they're like, oh yeah, Marchbanks got by Phil there. Yeah, sorry, you missed it, guys. But that, I was like screaming at the TV, like, no, like, at least show that battle on half the screen. I get showing the leader on the last lap. But, like, I guess Kitchen was kind of close, but I'm like, this is a battle I think a lot of people want to watch right now, even though it's the last lap. But that's one thing I was like, really? But I guess at least we saw the pass. But one other issue I saw, that I don't know if there's battles back, like, for that transfer spot, but it was one of the heat races. I think it was the first of the night, if I can remember correct. Like, right when the leader, you know, won, was it when Ryder D won? They just cut straight to a commercial. Was that one of that heat or something? It's like they didn't even show the battle, like any of the battles from second to ninth at all. That's just what
I didn't watch it. Noticed. I didn't watch it live, so I didn't have to. I missed all that.
You missed that. Did you catch that, Joey?
Yeah, sorry. I missed that one. What was that?
It was like after, it might have been after Ryder D, but I know it was, I don't know if it was that heat, but it was one of the heats after the leader, you know, crossed the finish line. This instantly cut the commercial, and you know, normally how they show, oh, here's so and so in ninth place and 10th, you know, battling for the transfer spot, and
I think it was Ryder. I was kind of like thrown off by that too.
Yeah, I was like, I get if they're not close in the transfer spot and it's kind of boring on, but normally you show the, you just cut to someone else. They show him crossing the finish line, then they just pop the camera to someone else. I was not like it's that big of a deal, but I was just like, really? But.
Yeah, I had some guys like near the bubble on my pulp fantasy team that were in that heat, I think, and I was like, he would cross finish line. I was like, all right, show who's gonna make it. And then yeah, they didn't. They went to commercial. I was like, what?
Yeah, so here's Burger
Come
King.
on. Yeah, it's for that.
Yeah, that
yeah.
Like not like it's that big of a deal, but I'm like, just really? Like, but whatever. But
did you guys see where was TJ Albright this weekend?
He was there.
He's
He
21st
didn't
in
do good.
points. Yeah, let me look him up right now. I have my computer here.
He was there. He just didn't qualify.
He didn't.
I don't know if
Okay.
he even made the night show.
Yeah, that's
Or
what I was gonna say. I don't even think I
TJ
saw his name out there.
I forget. Yeah, he didn't make the main.
Which, yeah, you for sure didn't make the main. But like, I
Yeah.
don't even know he might have missed the night show. But it was oh, like the way the practices were, like the B practice was so much faster than the A, where
Oh, right.
I
Yeah, that's
think he
pretty
was in
crazy.
the A, so he might have got bumped out because, TJ is a good rider, but like a lot of riders you usually would beat
Oh.
times were super fast, right?
Yeah, he got 44th in qualifying.
Yeah, so he didn't make it.
Yeah, he got
Yeah,
a
that's right.
121.9, and 40th was Robbie Wageman with a 117.7. Hey, that was pretty crazy. I didn't
Awesome.
tune in to all of Race Day Live, but I tuned into a couple of those, the B and A practices, or I guess those qualifying sessions, but
Yeah.
it was surprising. It
Yeah.
was like pretty far, the track was a lot different, or it was a lot worse for A. But
Yeah, it was I did watch a little bit of the daytime stuff and it didn't look too bad. Like the guys were jumping through everything all right and they didn't change the track yet. Blitzing the whoops, like it seems relatively easy. I mean, definitely got harder and harder as the practices went on, but it's crazy. I think Sanford qualified third fastest overall, like using the B practice. But just how much faster the track was,
Yeah, like I, we're talk. Or I guess you sent me that clip of Malcolm. That was pretty gnarly in qualifying there.
Yeah,
I saw that one
yeah.
already as it happened. I was like, oh, like I'm glad he it wasn't as bad as it looked. It's pretty
Yeah.
gnarly.
And then RJ's crashed too
Oh, he just,
after the finish there. That was goofy looking.
yeah, that crash and the one. Then when he freaking cased the finish line later on, I think it was the night show when that happened. Just like planted in the finish line. Whereas I'm looking at
Yeah.
qualifying right now. Anything you guys wanted to touch on in the 250 class? I'm just going over qualifying right now. See.
I just think I wanted to mention like just how crazy it was, like how many guys in the 250 class like DNF'd versus the 450 class. Like it was, to my knowledge, it was pretty close to like half the field that was like dang near like DNF'd. Like even the amount of top guys in the 250 class that DNF'd and stuff, like with bike issues and stuff, versus the 450 class. Like it was crazy. Like it just shows how much more taxing it is for the smaller CC bikes in that, in those conditions, how much hotter the engines gets compared to the 450s.
Yeah, they're all like so much more pushed to the limit for, the builds, right? They're trying to get all the power they can out of them, which yeah, doesn't age well when it in those conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going over the
Oh.
results right now, and really sucks. Lance Kobus shouldn't make it. I didn't even realize that he got 41st. He was right there, right on that bubble.
Yeah, because we had like Nate Thrasher, Max Mullen, Ryder D, and Joe Shimoda all at the back,
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought it was gonna be Nate's night. Qualified fastest, and he's good in the mud. And excuse me. Yeah, bad start. That's all that counts. Did he crash with the bad start?
I don't remember. I don't know. They don't feel like they didn't really see much, actually.
Yeah, not that I can remember.
Yeah, he's just kind of just not there. Well, yeah, he was in the LCQ, so that probably led to a bad start.
Was I looking at the wrong time? Was that?
Yeah. You guys touch on the 450 class already? Or?
Not really. I just talked about Jet going back, but I guess I wanted to mention Prado if we're getting started with 450s. Prado getting that jump, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Getting that jump. Yeah, no, way. I thought that was really going to be like a sign of things to come in the main.
Yeah, he's still doing good in the main.
I think it goes back to the start, you know. Like, I mean, he rode decent in the main, but he got a bad start. If he would have got a whole shot in the main, he probably would have easily been top five. I mean, no, he's Shane Bycroft, but yeah, he didn't execute the start like he did in the heat. But yeah, it was cool to see him, and then see Ferrandis win too. His heat, like, he was hauling in that heat race.
Oh, one thing I wanted to touch on too is I think it was it four different riders in the heat races from four different countries winning? Was it Ferrandis from France? Who won the
Prado? Heat?
Prado.
Joe Shimoda.
What?
Yeah, Joe Shimoda.
So, yeah, Joe, and then third was Joe, then from Japan.
Ryder D.
And Ryder D, yeah, from the U.S.
Oh, he's for the U.S. Yeah. Definitely, but like one you wouldn't expect. Like, I would have never guessed Ryder D doing that. Like when I was.
Oh, especially being from California, even that I was going crazy over that.
Yeah, and I was saying, I was like, thinking, like, you know, going through my Paul fantasy and like looking at all the guys, and I think he had like a good handicap or something, and I was like, you know, I specifically stayed away from him because, oh, he's from California, he's not gonna do any good, you know? And then he goes and wins the heat, like, dominating, dominating fashion too. I was like, oh wow. And then whatever, didn't finish the main, but yeah.
It was pretty cool, yeah, for Troy Lee there. They had, you know, him or Ryder D, then Jorge Prado went in the heat races, and I know they're a team that's kind of, I guess, been under the radar a little bit. Like, they have Barsha that's been doing good, you know, in the last couple of years, and he won, you know, last year, but I think they've, you know, they haven't been up there really as much as some of the other factory teams. Obviously, Honda's been taking pretty much everything, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool for them.
Yeah, I was surprised, Barsha looked like he wasn't going to make it at one point in the LCQ there.
Yeah. Justin Cooper didn't make it.
Yeah, that was crazy. Justin Cooper didn't get it. Yeah, it's a brutal night.
Yeah, it was brutal.
One way or the other.
Yeah, last weekend Hunter Lawrence didn't make it, then this weekend Cooper doesn't make it. And you know, one thing, though, is Cade Clayson made it in both weeks, so shout out to Cade. He powered through, and he scored points. You know, he didn't get last, and obviously, like I talked about, 22nd doesn't get any points, which I guess I haven't asked you about that, but as a racer, like, if you're qualifying for these main events, like, how do you feel if 22nd's not getting a single point?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, for sure, because, I mean, you're beating a lot of guys to put it in the main, you know, and it's a little bit different than outdoors. You're still beating a lot of guys in outdoors to get 22nd, but you're doing a whole extra race.
Yeah, it's the main event, else. You know, like,
yeah, you're in the show. Like, you are the entertainment, you know.
Yeah, like, I think it's a big what deal. Happens,
for like the factory guys, it doesn't, you know, they probably care as much.
But yeah, even like when you're racing, though, like, you're a top 10 guy running up there, like around that, you know, top 5, and I think, you know, you a lot of guys, like, even like around there can. Whatever, not like it's a big deal, but I think it's like you said, it's your bike the show. Breaks. Or if
or yeah. Whatever, you drop, you end up 22nd and you did all that work to get in the main, and like, that's just, I mean, 1 point's 1 point, but you know, it adds up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's kind of a weird deal. I can see them changing that for next year.
Well, like, how do you feel with 21st and 22nd getting, like, 1 point?
I think that would be fine.
Because I know like you could change it up front, like near the podium, you know, like from
Yeah,
third to
that would
fourth.
be, it would be better for, doing it that way than no point at all for 20 second.
Yeah. And not like it's rocket
In my
science.
opinion, but yeah, they could, I think it would be like fourth to fifth. I think they can change it.
Oh, yeah. Not yet.
Because it's a 2 point difference, I think from fifth to fourth or something like
It
that. Yeah.
goes, I have the points right here. It's 25, 22, 20, and then 18 for fourth and 17 for fifth. Unless you
Oh, it's
made
18, 17.
18, 7. Yeah, it's different than what we're used to, so.
Oh, so they did change. Okay, so they already changed it a little bit.
Yeah, it's not the
Gotcha.
same
So they'd
stuff
have to,
that, but yeah, we ran.
they would have to change it from third to fourth to do that then.
Yeah, what? So it'd be just
Which,
20 to 19, which kind of sucks, you know, for if you're getting third to fourth. Normally you have that little bit of a buffer, you know.
yeah, I like knowing that, that they already changed it. I would rather it be 1 point for 22nd and 21st than making it, you know, changing it from, oh, third to fourth. You know, it should be like a little bit more of a reward to get third, right?
Yeah, which I think so,
Then
yeah.
this like one more point on that scale, but yeah, you know, I think it's roll. I mean, roll into the 40 class. Talk a little about
Yeah. What do you think about, I guess the Lawrence brothers? They're kind of quiet in it on the broadcast. They didn't blow them too much. So yeah, what do you think on that?
that. Well, yeah, I mean, it's Oh, like I hate that Jet is so good.
Yes, yeah,
More or less, you know, definitely jealous of that. But yeah, they're all like they definitely hype him up and whatever, whatever. But he is good. He does deserve it. But it's just, man, he's just, it's just crazy. Which last night, I hate to say it, but I was kind of happy to see him flounder
agree.
around in 10th. Just to show he's human, you know, like
Exactly.
as up until really that point, well, I guess the first SMX round, but he's been this god, you know, and it's like he can't do anything wrong. I mean, he has been amazing, like yeah, like, but I just it's cool to see he's human, basically, you know, and he had a bad race, which is 10th, but yeah, I hate to say it, but it was nice to see that. I mean, it was nice to see Cooper beat him. A one in the heat race, like that was sick. To see that too, just more or less like I, whether it's Jet or anyone, I don't like seeing dominance for the like for being a fan, right?
Yeah, you want to
I
see a
like to
battle
see.
up front where anyone, it could be different guys winning, right? Like,
Yeah, we want to be like surprised, you know. You want to like. Who's gonna win? Like last night, I had, I mean, I thought Plessinger was gonna win, but it was like anything could happen, and guess what it did? Like I didn't really pick Chase to win, in those conditions. I don't know. I mean, he's a good rider, but I don't know if he's that good of a mud rider. But Lana, I didn't know what was gonna happen 1 through 5. I had no clue. You look at my fantasy, and I sure didn't have a clue.
oh, I gotta log into that.
But yeah, I mean, I almost got 15th right, but my wild card had to get 16th, or the guy I picked. But yeah, that's serious. He ran my gun. But yeah, then Hunter, I was really shocked to make it the main last week. It's cool to see him in the main, you know, this weekend. And but I mean, you're not all over him like they are Jet, but Jet's got the results, right, to back it, back him up. But more or less, I want to see a battle. I want to see a battle this year, which I'm sure like everyone else does too. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't want to be a Jet hater or anything, but it's, yeah, like I agree with you. It's a guy I just want to see. Like, if going back to 2022 outdoors, it was only two of the guys that could really win, right? But like, still, it was Chase or Eli. Like, we knew it was going to be a good race at whatever round it was. And now it's like, oh, your jet's going to win. And the thing that ticks me off, I'm not saying, like, if I was him and I was capable of doing what he could do, I would do it too. But, like, the thing that he does is he gets a 2 or 3 second lead, and I was talking about it last week. Then he just manages that, or, ooh, it's 4 seconds now. And then you think the guy in second's going to catch him, and they might start pulling him in. Then you see him, he realizes that, and then he just pulls away, you know, like, where I'd rather, if someone dominates, I'd rather see, like, Ricky Carmichael getting, like, a 20-second lead or Tomac, you know, where how they would just pull out. And it's boring watching that, but at least it's not like you have that false hope that someone's going to catch them, because you know it's like, oh, like, you keep on getting that hope, like, oh, I know Jet's probably just going to pull away, but, oh, maybe, you know, then it's, like, the same thing every, you know, time after time of him just, like, oh, yeah, whoever's catching me, I'll just lay down a little bit, you know, more, and it almost feels like he's not even trying, which is the crazy thing, which he's only, you know, I guess he's 20, and when Roczen was 20, he was kicking ass in the 450 class, but, you know, nothing like this, which, yeah, but I'm looking at my fantasy right now. I just logged into that. We got 7th place this weekend, but, yeah, I'm not doing too good. I'm 6th in
the group. I scored 10 points. Oh, dude, I got more than you. Heck yeah.
Yeah. I scored 30.
I thought I did bad. I got 15.
You got 15 points?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got 30. Nice. Yes.
Rough weekend. Who did you guys have for the wild card?
Dean Wilson.
Justin Hill.
Same.
Yeah, he got 16. Emma had 15. Emma picked Christian Craig. He got 14th.
I picked Justin Hill. He didn't even freaking make the night show.
Yeah, you were a little off there, but yeah, I thought for sure, and the Dean was in 15th going into the last lap too, like,
he was
battling, I think, with Paul Tully, and he was in 15th, and I'm like, my top five was garbage, and I'm like, oh, at least I got Dean Wilson, so it'll be good, and then, sure enough, the scoreboard comes up and Paul Tully passed him in the last lap. I said, what? Paul Tully of all people. Like,
yeah.
Who would have ever guessed him?
I got 3 out of the 5 people in the top 5. So I was like, okay. And then, like, I'm like, I should have gotten some decent. And I'm like, yeah, it was like 5 points for each of them. I was like, oh, that was crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I got 2. Yeah, I didn't have Chase Sexton in my top 5. Like,
really, I had him in 2nd.
When I made my picks, I completely forgot about him. And then I, like, right before closeout, I remember about Chase. So I'm like, it's muddy. He's probably gonna crash. Nope, he wins. Okay. So, but it's hard. It's so hard picking because, well, the mud. But, like, there's 10 guys that you can put in the top 5.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I picked both the Lawrence brothers, and they both were outside the top 5. I don't know where to put Hunter. Like, where do you put Hunter going in the round 3 here? Like, you're getting your picks. Let's say we're making our picks right now for San Diego. Like, do you put Hunter in the top 5?
I did not.
I didn't make mine yet, but I'm like, I think I might have last week, too. I just don't.
I'm like so back and forth in my top 5. Like, I feel awful leaving Jason Anderson out of my top 5 right now. But, like, as of right now, I picked him for 7th. And I'm like, man, he's a top 5 guy. But I'm like, so is, like, Cooper. And so is Kenny in my eyes. And so is Eli. And, like, I'm like, so is Jet. I'm like, what do I do? Like,
oh, yeah. Like, not only he's a top 5 guy, dude. Like, A1, he crushed it. I mean, he was 2nd. And he rode. I mean, that's I think better than he rode all last season.
Yeah, I mean, I might sound crazy, but I'm like, well, it's Anaheim 1. It's kind of like that fluke race where guys are still shaking stuff out. Some guys are getting cobwebs out. Some guys are just trying to stay healthy. Other guys are just, like, eager to be out there and almost maybe riding a little bit above, you know, a little bit over their head in a sense. And so I'm like, well, I'm not even going to count anyone. I'm like, so, like, for that reason, I will put Jason Anderson out of my top 5 for right now.
Yeah, it always feels like we're leaving someone out. Like, I feel bad. Like, I'm like, I make a pick, and I'm like, I feel bad that if it's Anderson or Webb or whoever, I'm like, I think they all deserve to be in the top 5. But,
well, they all can. You know, it's like just putting all the title favorites in the top five. Like, that's basically five guys. Like,
Yeah.
it's nuts.
Well, then, but then even like you said, like top five guys, you're like, well, shoot, Dylan Ferrandis, and then dang, after last night, like you can't write out Shane McElrath apparently for top five. Like, what the hell was that? Like,
Yeah.
RMRB, maybe.
well,
Two in the top
yeah,
five.
like.
And
Like
like,
who? Like it was probably somebody's like girlfriend or wife that's just doing fantasy for fun. That like just for whatever reason accidentally put Shane McElrath in their top five and is now like leading a bunch of fantasy leagues.
yeah, definitely wasn't on purpose or wasn't anyone who knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, who would have
Yeah.
guessed
Who?
that?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Who'd
And
have him in
then
there? Yeah.
like AP round one, like I mean, he rode really good to get fourth, and then Ferrandis got fifth, like. Tomac got eighth. Like, who would have thought
Yeah,
that would happen?
Ferrandis is kind of looking like
No.
a little bit of a supercross guy now. After, he's been
That's
weird
true. The
watching
red
him. You know,
bike, he
yeah,
swears by it.
it's kind of interesting. Seeing some of those smaller teams, like doing really good now, and I guess not like, Kenny's team there is really a small team, but they're not like a big contender like Monster Cowie or anything, but. And it's Suzuki, but I don't know. I think it's kind of cool to see that. And Phoenix Honda with Dylan, and he's looking really good on the bike too. And he's said something about how he's thinking about retiring and stuff. And hopefully this kind of gives him a little bit more life going into next year or something, if he does good this year on the bike. But
Yeah, I mean, I think coming out at round one and getting fifth and then winning a heat at round two, even though it was in the mud, like he's I think the best 450 version of you've seen of him in Supercross. He's had some good rides, but has he gotten on the podium before?
I
In a
don't know. I don't
Supercross?
think so. Even the year where he did good
I don't.
outdoors, I don't think he was up there at
Or
all.
no, I think he did maybe Houston,
Ooh,
round
maybe.
1 in 21 maybe. I don't know why I think that, but yeah, he might have gotten one or something. But he's never been very consistent, so we'll see how this year goes.
I feel like we're all
And
waiting,
then
like when he
like.
moved up, that waiting for him to kind of step up and be. Like not necessarily winning it or anything, but like just being up there in the mix and Supercross. And was,
Especially
waiting for
after
a while.
winning it, the outdoor title with such dominance, like in his rookie season, like never would have guessed that. I
Yeah.
figured it would have carried over a little bit into Supercross.
That's pretty crazy. And what I feel like is pretty crazy too is I don't know how old he was. I remember him being 26. I don't know if it was last year when they're talking about it or the year before, but I know a lot of guys are up there in their late 20s, early 30s. I was thinking last night, it's going to be crazy when all those guys start retiring. Just all the spots open in the 450 class. I think it's.
Yeah, because they're all like in around the same age.
Yeah, like all the top contenders pretty much are all the same age. They're damn close.
Yeah.
It's
That'd
kind of.
be interesting.
Yeah, so. Going back to, I was talking about a little bit earlier with Prado. I know he seems like a guy that's really confident and really driven, and he won an MXGP title. He has that checked off the box. I know everyone's different, where some people might want to chase like Crowley or Everett's and chase those titles over there because it's not like MXGP is any small thing or anything. It's a world of its own. But how do you think he's gonna do after? Or how do you think he's feeling after winning a heat, even though it's a mud race and everything like that, but and not dry normal conditions, but how do you think he is, like his mindset of if he's really wanting to come over here? Like obviously I guess it depends on if he likes it and gels or feels like he likes Supercross, but I think he almost got a little bit of a taste of, success and getting that heat, almost like a drug, and where he's like, okay, I gotta come over here. Like I think he's really confident and driven, like needs to come over here, and if the chase that like greatest rider or at least being up there when you're talking about guys like Herlings and Tomac and the greatest guys in the world. I guess I want to hear, I guess, from both you guys in this. I'll start, I guess, Joey, if you one of what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge pull for him to to want to come back. Like, I mean, you could tell he wants to come back. Like, this is where he wants to be. But it's definitely a contingent upon how he does these few races, because he's not going to come back and ride for hemp Suzuki. Well, it's hard saying that because Rocks is on hemp, but you know what I mean. Not going to come back for a free ride, when he can make millions racing GPs or however much it is. It's a lot more than a small team over here. But so like him winning heat, getting a top 10, and then hopefully he does good next weekend, which I think is his last round, right?
Yep, so yeah, San Diego's
Supposedly,
the
yeah.
last round.
Yeah,
Yep.
supposed to be. I mean, I could see something changing. Because like you said, I think he's like enjoys that spotlight. I was like commenting after, he won the heat race. I'm like, man, he's just like the total package. Like he's got like the Hollywood smile, he's like tan, like good looking, like
Has a hot
got the
sister.
athletic he's got the athletic build.
That's the way
You know what I
to
mean? Like he's like I think he's like total Hollywood about it as well. Like not in a bad way, but just that you think he really enjoys the spotlight. He's just got that charismatic smile and a good talker, and he's like the total package. Like you said, like he wants to be over here because I think it'll kind of complete his vision, and like just he's already built for it in every way. He's like phenomenally talented, and he can he'll he looks good in front of a camera kind of thing. Like so for like the sport and stuff, and I think he's just playing into it too, because I think it also checks like everybody's been saying, it fulfills his goals for the sport too, where yeah, like he like I think he will kind of come over here and do well, and like kind of go full circle with it, and then make the money, and also be like a somewhat very popular professional athlete, very famous.
I feel like when they're talking about him like coming over and not even settling for a 250 ride, where they're like, well, come up, well, you don't know Supercross or whatever, just come over here on a 250 ride. I think he's like a guy that's really confident and like, no, I'm a fucking world champion over here. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not used to Supercross, totally new to this thing, new to this whole new discipline here, but I'm a world champion, and being an MXGP world champion is pretty something that's legendary, right? And obviously more than being an outdoor champion here. And I think, yeah, he wants to come over, and it's like, I'm not going to settle for a 250 ride, or I'm not going to settle for a satellite team or anything. I want to be one of the guys on, one of the, title contending teams. And I just hope there's a spot for him, because if there is, I think we'll be in for a good, treat here. And even when Hunter Lawrence came over, I guess he was earlier on in his career, but or wonder how old he was actually when he came over. Because Prado's, how old's Prado? He's, ooh.
21, 22, 23, something like
Yeah,
that.
so he's still not too old yet. But like when Hunter came over, like he was from Hunter back when he was, what was it, like 19 or 20, or 2020, I mean, when he's like number 41. I like comparing that Supercross season to like his last year on the 250s was huge, right? Like he got so much better, and I can only imagine if Prado came over here, or he's getting his feet wet a little bit this year, then let's say he comes over here next year, then maybe a couple years down the road, he'll be up there and battling for the titles, or who knows? I don't know, but at least being up there in the mix, right? And I see him as he's talking about how he's fulfilled what he wanted to do over in Europe. I think he's just really driven to be one of those guys. And I'm surprised Hurling hasn't came over here in that sense. And I'm not making it sound like everyone that is good over there is going to have success over here, but I don't mean that. But like I think just the mindset that those guys have, that they're how good they are, and they want to be, chase the I guess just that dream or whatever. But I don't know, not really making sense there, but yeah, I think he's doing pretty good. But I had nowhere to, or I had no idea where to put him going into this year. So I like for fantasy, I didn't put him obviously in my top five, but
Yeah, I definitely considered it with it being muddy, but they're all talking about Jorge Prado in the mud. But I'm like, yeah, he's good in the mud, but like he's never ridden muddy Supercross. Like that's kind of a whole new animal, so to speak. You know, it's a lot different riding a muddy supercross track versus a muddy outdoor track. But I mean, clearly he rode good. Like watching him in the heat, I was like, dang, I should have maybe thought about him more.
Yeah, I don't think I thought about him at all. Which I guess he got.
Yeah, I had the same thought as soon as he like got the whole shot in the heat race. I was like, well, crap, I forgot about him for my fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. But you got a couple minutes, right, Joey? Before you go.
I gotta get popping off here pretty soon. Okay. I'm actually in the car heading to dinner. But.
Okay, so I just want to ask you one more question. I guess nothing, unless there's anything else you want to touch about, or I want to do the picks too. But anything else you want to touch on about San Francisco?
No, I mean, I think we covered everything.
I feel like we got everything. All the wildness from there, but I want to make our picks in a second before you get off. But I guess before that, I want to get an update and how everything's going down at the Shoals, and see posting videos of all the guys. Is there a certain guy that deserves a shout out that's standing out right now, looking pretty good down there?
It's kind of hard. Like, I mean, Caleb Wood, he's won a moto at Loretta's last year, won the GNCC title in the 85 for Superman class. I'm not really 100% dialed in all the classes they have for GNCC, but he's looking good. He's got a Team Green ride now. Aiden Riley, he's did top 10 at Loretta's last year and a couple top fives at Minios, and then a lot of the other guys are just off-road GNCC guys. Which, like, they still go pretty decent on moto, but it's hard to really tell on moto versus the woods. Just some of the guys are scared to jump, but they can haul in the woods. Another Babbitt's kid, JoJo Cunningham, he's fast on moto and in the woods. He'll be racing A class in the GNCC stop next year, but. Yeah, it's pretty cool that there's a top five in the 250A class basically in GCC is here training. So when we're doing motos and sprints and stuff, it's cool seeing those guys battle it out like it's a race. For sure builds. And then also another kid, young kid, Carter Gray, I believe. Hopefully I'm not getting his name wrong. Rides 65. He was the first one to send the triple at the Charlotte SMX round. If you remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's here. He's here too on 60. Like, it's he'll jump jumps that, like, majority of the big bikes aren't even doing on a 65, like in the mud. It's he's nuts. Cool to have him. And we got probably. We average between 40 to 50 guys per week. It's pretty crazy right now.
I saw Cody Groves down there. I see he gets a little bit of a feature on your story when he's late to the gym or something in the morning. But I know he's been hauling, and I saw he's back. He was racing on the RM before, right? Was it 2 years ago or something? I could be wrong. I really didn't start following
him
until last year.
He did. 2019, somewhere around there, amateur stuff. But yeah, he's been a handful to try to keep him on the straight and narrow. Like, he 1 second he wants to train and diet and get in shape and kick ass, and the next second he's like, I'm gonna go party this weekend. You know, I want to go.
Gotta control the beast there, the siege. What's it? Yeah, the siege or something.
Yes, yeah. So he's sometimes skips out on gym and whatnot. So you just gotta, or shows up late. You just gotta punish him with running laps. And the other day, we're at Stu's house, had dinner, hung out, whatever, on Sunday, last Sunday night. And then I specifically, when I, like, he was there when I left, I said, gym at 9, right? Like, I told him a couple times, you know? And then 9 o'clock comes around, guess who's not there? Mr. Siege. And so we're all in the gym, whatever, and we're all like, you know, all the other kids, they're always ratting on each other, you know, like, this guy isn't here, this guy isn't here, you know, and all trying to, like, what are you gonna have him do, and, like, you know, what's his punishment gonna be, you know. So I was like, oh, we'll see, it's 10 push-ups a minute, so we'll see when he gets here. And so he got there like 9:25, so I'm like, all right, I'll give you an option. You have 250 push-ups, or you run 8 laps around the big track. So he chose 8 laps, and I did like, oh, get a little soft on him, and I let him do four before. And then afterwards, it was like dark out. He was going to run his other four, and I don't think I was gonna make him run four, but he ran two, and then I let him stop running because it was pitch black out and 30 degrees. So I don't want to fully kill him,
Fully kill
but
him.
yeah, it's not the first time I've had to have him do laps, or I mean, we wake kids up with fireworks. We've done that with Cody before. Some firecrackers and, you know, whatever. We do what we got to do to,
You get
you
the
know,
job
keep the
done down
kids in
there.
line. Yeah. You can't let them slack off, because you give them an inch, they take a mile. Especially the big kid of Cody. But,
Yes,
yeah,
I've
I'm trying.
really haven't followed the arena cross
Trying.
too much, but I saw he was in a couple of the arena cross posts. So I was going through and watching, like going on the arena cross profile and Instagram and looking at that. So he had one post kind of go viral a little bit in the moto world of him in that little interview with whatever that reporter's name was, screaming.
Katie Banks or whatever, talking about slamming down beverages or whatever.
Yeah, slamming down beverages, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, good job, Cody. Let everyone know you're training hard. But yes, him. Oh, and another kid. I don't want to forget him. Sorry. Mitch Zimbera. I'm horrible at pronouncing his last name. But he has been here training on Supercross. He's going really good right now. He'll be like, he's done a couple outdoors last year in the, after the Rettas, but this is going to be his first Supercross he's ever done, at Detroit. He's going fast right now, so I'm trying to keep him healthy, which he's been healthy. He's hasn't been crashing, knock on wood, doing anything dumb. And yeah, he's been riding really good. So I'm really excited to see how he'll do. I'm thinking he'll be in the main. If he can ride how he does on a Tuesday at Detroit, he will be in the main, for sure, without a doubt. He's going really good. And
So,
Cole Thompson's here too, training. Yeah, we got a lot of guys here, so
will you be
it's
at
a
Detroit?
good crew. I'm not sure yet. I don't have anything booked right now, which it's coming out in like 2 weeks.
I hate how
So,
early it is in the year.
you what?
I hate how early it is. Like, I know it's normally cold. Like, last year was freezing, but it was after Daytona, you know, in March. I hate how early it is, you know, the first weekend in February, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's first weekend of February, which is it's stupid for them to do it that early.
I think it
It's just
had to be because
miserable,
of the
but
NFL draft, because I think they have the draft in mid-April or what, late April in Detroit. So I know they're gonna have the whole.
that's April.
Yeah, but I
And
don't know how
see,
long the whole.
and it's weird how they go. They go east, west, and then east.
Yeah,
It's like,
yeah.
yeah, and it's the earliest. Like, usually east doesn't even start this early. They start the second or third weekend, but now they're starting earlier, and they're starting in Michigan. So,
Yeah, I'm a little
yeah,
disappointed by
it's.
that, but at least we have a race here, and you know, I'm only an hour, and you know, Dean, I guess all of us, when you know, you're home up here in Michigan, or an hour away from Detroit, it's nice to have a race in Detroit for sure. I'm not complaining about that, but I just wish it was perfect world be like in April or something, but or it'd be really cool to have one in Detroit at the stadium right next to it where the Tigers play when it's warm. which that would have to damn, like, they probably couldn't ever make that work because it would have to be one of the last rounds, but I think that would be really cool to have it at Comerica. But, yeah, unfortunately, it's normally cold as can be up here. A little bipolar Mother Nature up here, but, yeah. But, anyways, I guess wrapping this up here, I want to make our top three picks. I wanted to start doing top three picks from A1 on, and I just guess we didn't do that. I didn't get that started, and last week I think me and Dean did it, but I forgot to message you about that. So I guess I'll start with my top three 250 picks for round three, and I really haven't thought about this until right now. So
250.
Shoot, we got – I feel like Shimoda's going to be up there, but I don't know. I'll go back with RJ. I don't know. I guess I can – it's like one of those things for the top three, like how we're talking about top five at the 450, but with like the guys like RJ and Jordan. But I don't know. I feel like RJ is going to – I'll go RJ. He's going to get that win again. Levi for second and Shimoda for third. I don't know. I was thinking about Volan, but I don't know. So what I say, RJ, Levi, then Shimoda, Joe Shimoda there.
All right, I'll go. Yeah, taking RJ. It's hard to beat him. I've got Jordan Smith in there. I'm taking RJ, Jordan, then I'll go with Bolin third. I think he's going to get a podium here. And then I'll give my 450 picks. And then I got to head in for dinner. But 450 picks, I'm going to give Cooper Webb. Jet Lawrence and Eli Tomac for third.
Two star guys.
I probably shouldn't. I shouldn't bet against Chase, but that's what I'm kind of thinking. I might switch Tomac with Chase. We'll see.
Okay.
But I'm pretty confident with Webb. Like after round one, I mean, this weekend sucked, and then he crashed round one. But I think Cooper's gonna come on swinging here.
Sweet. Yeah, I think he has that, you know, that speed that he's been missing, you know, for the last little bit. And yeah, I think he's going to do pretty good. Dean, what's your picks here?
For the 250 class, I'll go Joe Shimoda for first, RJ Hampshire for second, and Julian Beaumer for third. And then for the 450 class, I do Jet Lawrence first, Chase Sexton second, and Eli Tomac third.
Okay, I'll have to write these down and see how we end up doing. So I wanted this whole point is I wanted to keep track, you know, and how we're doing because we can keep track on fantasy. Yeah. And I wanted to do something with the podium to be a little bit different, and I dropped the ball on that. But, you know, round three, we'll start.
If we can just keep track of our picks. I mean, you could look at my fantasy, I guess, pick from – RM fantasy, but yeah, it'd be cool to keep track of like the top three picks and see what they are by the end of the year.
I'll start doing
just
that.
Just think of us three or whatever.
Yeah, I'll cancel me and Dean's from last week since we didn't get yours, and I guess we'll start from round three. I'll do that. So.
Or you can do look at my the at least
you pick
my
RM too, right?
Fantasy. Well, yeah, but there's no real top three.
I don't know. Just, I don't do that.
No. It goes by handicaps and stuff. But.
No, I just play Rocky. But, okay, well, sweet, I know you have to go, so I'll let you go and you know, have fun down there. Keep those guys in line, and I guess I'll talk to you, you know, probably next week. We'll cover in San Diego.
Yeah, I think I'm racing next weekend with Sprint Enduro, so.
Are you racing? Sweet.
Yeah, maybe I'll jump on afterwards and give you guys an update on that, how that goes.
Sweet, good luck, and yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Thank you. We'll see you. See you guys. Yeah, nice chatting with you guys. It's always fun.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.
And here we are, round two. I think we got some good rounds in. I guess A1, like we were talking about last week, was kind of boring. Round two was all right. I think it should be hopefully a better one in San Diego, though. But I guess we have your segment right now that we added in. The little soundbite on here is really corny, but I was just messing with ChatGPT like I told you earlier. So here we go with Dean's segment here. He always has, first before I get this started, last couple of years, he's always had really good facts if it's, you know, I think about anything like Strava or plenty of different things. If you guys have listened over the years, really good facts and going down rabbit holes of anything. So yeah, here we go with your segment here. I almost clicked on the wrong one there.
Hey, Dean. Spill the beans. What wacky thoughts are bouncing around in that noggin of yours?
So I got to change that. But okay, so your thing this week, we're talking about how you got into Alex Martin Strava and just looking and what he's doing and some of the crazy workouts he's doing. So what do you got?
Yeah, like we were talking about it ahead of time. So I jumped on here and I was just like searching a bunch of the top guys. And I mean, a lot of them, it seems like their Stravas are kind of like block and stuff like that. But I did see like Christian Craig, I think it was, like he's on Zwift, and Jeremy Martin, I know he's really big with Zwift. But then, like I said, talking about Alex Martin, who is Jason Anderson's trainer, which it doesn't look like Jason has a Strava, but Alex Martin today, this afternoon, he did a 16.5 mile run with averaging an 8:13 pace, which is like pretty gnarly. I mean, that's, I guess he didn't actually have it like up. It looks like he put it in like manually. I'm just like curious where he's even at right now. If he's doing that in Minnesota in the frozen tundra, that's just,
that would be miserable. Obviously.
Yeah.
You guys, how often are you guys still running?
Oh, I mean, depending on the weather, like, you know, we'll kind of switch it up, but I mean, we'll still run at least. I mean, Emma runs like 5 days a week. I might, right now, if they're being colder, I might only run once or twice a week and then just try and, you know, get something else to do out there. Like yesterday, shoveling was my workout, shoveling snow. So.
Yeah, I thought about the other day. It was kind of cold. I don't know how warm it was, but I'm like, I kind of miss riding in the cold, you know, like, you know, cycling and stuff like that. And then I went outside, I think it was yesterday or it was this morning or something. And if you guys don't know, my schedule is so mixed up. I'm night shift right now, so my days are nights and my nights are days and everything's thrown off. But a little bit ago anyways, I went outside and I'm like, I'm glad I don't race anymore. Almost like, I almost feel like that fair weather rider right now, like going outside. Like I remember going out and training in January and sliding all over the ice, just absolutely miserable. And now I'm like, it's kind of nice in here. It's kind of warm at my house. And I don't know, but I'm like, yeah, it's some of these guys, yeah, seeing when their workouts. And I think we're talking about, was it Alex Martin last year or something? Or it was, I could have swore it was like a year ago, because I remember it was like really cold out and like it was up when he was in Minnesota or something. I could be wrong on that, but and some of their stuff, and I think we were talking a couple months ago on how crazy some of their Strava times are, if it was running or whatever it was. And these guys are pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, both of the Martin brothers are freaking gnarly. It does look like Alex's run today was on the treadmill in the barn at Millville, and it's like a Snapchat picture that said it was -4 degrees outside. But he did his 16.5 mile run on the treadmill inside the shop there at Millville.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, like I used to run a little bit, and I haven't really ran in years. I tried this year, I guess last year technically, when it was still warm out, and I felt like I didn't know how to run, like physically, like I didn't know how to move. And even when I actually enjoyed running and could run, I hated running on the treadmill. Like there's no way you can find me doing 16 miles. There's no way you can find me doing 5 miles in that thing. I give a lot of props to people that do that. Like, I know it's a lot of people do, but I don't know. Like, I was a big outdoors guy, even when it was colder, but I can't imagine running on that thing for that long. Especially, like, I had knee problems, so, like, whenever I was running on those, I felt like it was always screwing with me a little bit.
Yeah, running is just one of those things, like, I mean, because now I've ran more than I ever have in the last couple of years. And it's just one of those things, like, you just gotta grit through it. And just, you know, I mean, you probably know from cycling, too, where it's just, like, you do it long enough and before, and just eventually something just, like, clicks, and you're just like, oh, I can do this for what seems like a really long time and just, like, maintain that pace and just, like, lock in and go. Same thing. I used to not like running on treadmills, but, like, now it's, like, whatever is. You can just, like, click into gear and just go. You know, it doesn't seem to matter where or what you're doing. It's just whatever. It's just, it's just all like we're you know we're doing it, and it's kind of enjoyable no matter what.
Yeah, it's just normal, like, getting through that uncomfortable phase. I know, like, when a lot of people start riding, they're like, my ass freaking hurts, you know, and you're like moving around and trying different shit to try on to, or try and work. But normally it's just like you get used to it and get going, and that's what I always hated, like having like a, I would normally take a little bit of time off in the winter, then I'd get going back again like in the heart of the, right in the middle of the winter, and just get back on the trainer, and man, I absolutely hated doing riding downstairs on that thing. Oh my gosh. But just getting that, like, I remember how uncomfortable it was, like, you know, you'd be 20 minutes in just not feeling like in sync with anything, and it was always kind of a bitch until you get going, then you get used to it. And then I remember every year, then I'd start riding outside again, and I've argued some well, we're having an issue here with my SD card here, but I guess I'll just wrap this up right now. But anyways, yeah, good having you on here and all three of us on. And you, can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. It said the SD card's too slow. So now we're good. I know we're getting near the limit of the SD card here on the soundboard. But anyways, I know we're going right around an hour right now, so I think we're doing pretty good. But yeah, anyways, I'll wrap this up. But yeah, so sweet. Got our picks in. Got, you know, another week down. So looking forward to next week. And yeah, that's a wrap, guys. See you later.